Well, he's the number one. He's Don Bradman, and everyone can argue about who second best is. He was inducted into the AFL Football Hall of Fame last night, Dennis Comity, and he's been good enough to give me a couple of minutes of his time. Congratulations, Den. Well deserved. It was obviously you were going to get in there. It wouldn't be a Hall of Fame without you, but congratulations.
Thanks, Dwayne. Lovely to speak with you too. I miss you.
I miss you. In fact, the footy world misses you. Dennis, there's an old saying now that you've mentioned that, when should you give it away? And I heard someone once say, when you feel yourself losing it, you're not able to do it as well as you've done it before, and you recognise that moment yourself, normally you give it away 2 years after that. You gave it away when you were at your prime.
There's a lot to be said for not staying too long at the party, I guess. But no, it was just that the contracts went out then. I think I would have gone a little bit earlier because it was the travel that was getting to me, and I wasn't enjoying that. But it was wonderful to stay on and see the Bulldogs win a premiership. I always had a leaning to the Bulldogs at any club, and that was a great way to finish. I remember I was driving across the Nullarbor to take a job with 3DB in the old days as a disc jockey. It goes back to the early 70s. And the Bulldogs were playing in a night premiership, and they won it against South Melbourne. And I remember thinking, I said to my wife the morning of the grand final in 16, I said, well, wouldn't it be nice if they were bookends? And lo and behold, they won the game. I didn't think they would. I tipped against them, but I remember the game very fondly, and it was a great way to finish.
So for those people who don't know, and I'm sure people do know, you're a pretty damn good player. What, you kicked 63 goals in 1968 under Polly and had a little time under EJ at Footscray as well. It was a pretty good career you had going at one stage.
Well, I should have been a better player without coaching. I mean, at least I was coached in the purple. They're big names, aren't they? And, I think looking back, the players at Westbird said I was Polly's pet, so it was a good place to be. I got on well with Polly. He was very kind to me. And I lost my father at the beginning of 1969. And Polly spent a lot of time coming around and spending time with my mum and having cups of tea and all the rest of it. But I decided I needed a real job. So footy had to sort of fall into the background. And I think I made the right choice looking back.
And it was a difficult choice for you. If you could have had, say, lunch with Polly Farmer, EJ Witt and Bob Skilton, or you could have had lunch with the Rolling Stones or the Beatles, it would have been an easy choice.
Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, perhaps, for me. But I was an American man. I didn't get caught up in that British invasion. But, no, it was an interesting life being a disc jockey. I mean, no one had contracts. Everyone got the sack, you know, sort of at regular intervals. But it was a wonderful time. I certainly enjoyed it. And when the two things overlapped, Dwayne, I wasn't modest. I was doing the radio and I was playing league footy. And I was strutting around Perth. Don't worry about that. I had a good strut up.
because you had you were a pretty good looking rooster in your day. You had the hair. Saw one piece of your hair. It looked like it was down to your shoulders.
I know what they'll do if they're listening at the Herald Sun. I'll get that photo out of the library with me and the cravat, and that's the end of that myth that you're trying to perpetrate.
You're a member of the Order of Australia. I have. I've seen it.
I've offered them money to get rid of it, burn it. Big money. They still keep running it. amazing. They were the 60s. You've got to be there to understand.
I can't understand because I wasn't there, although I did have some parents that at least I'm here because of the 60s. The things now, when you're looking back at those times, though, and because you did have to make a choice. You're a member of the Order of Australia, as I said. You've been a great broadcaster outside of and a great person outside of footy. So to me, it's not about as much as people will remember you for your lines, and they should remember you for your lines because they've been phenomenal. But to me, the overall spectrum of what you've done, your ability to call swimming, you've had a love of a lot of different sports. You just sort of ended up becoming a football broadcaster because that's where you ended up. Would you have had a preference? Well, you had a chance to tour with McGilvray and called cricket. You called Olympic swimming brilliantly.
I think football was always the one I loved most. It was funny how it started because I may have mentioned this last night, but I sort of I chose a team. I went to the footy in 1957, I remember the year, and Polly was playing in the game, actually. East Perth were very hot in the town at that stage, and East Fremantle were a very good team, and they had a great ruckman, a fellow called Jack Clark, who was All-Australian four times. He was a farmer who didn't come to the city. He was All-Australian four times, and they only picked teams at carnivals. He was in every All-Australian team he could get in, Jack Clark. He's a forgotten man of WA football in many respects. But anyway, East Fremantle won the game. It was then that I decided I'd barrack for them. But geographically, it was a terrible decision because they were about 25 k's away, and the old man said he wouldn't drive me there every week. So I listened on the radio, and as it turned out, that was very beneficial to me because I was an only child, so there wasn't much going on. I'd sit by the fire on a wet Saturday and listen to the broadcasters, Oliver Drake Brockman, Frank Sparrow, not guys known anywhere else, but certainly known here. And that's, I think, when I came to Melbourne, I was criticised sometimes because I sounded a bit different to what the guys in Melbourne were doing, but that was only because I'd sort of cheated off the blokes in Perth. You know, like, you take what you can get, and I was very lucky indeed with that. And footy was my overriding passion, I think, when I look back. Although there's nothing better than broadcasting Test cricket if you get the right guy with you, you know, the expert. You can have more fun than any sort of talkback radio. You can go where you like, when you like, and the odd ball interrupts. If it's a slow period, all the better. I used to delight in doing that. I loved the cricket because it was funny, and we got a lot of cricket over here because of the time difference. So you got plenty of opportunity to have a go at it.
And you knew from day one it's the entertainment industry we're in, that you're in as well. So that became part of it, obviously. And if you get more free space to entertain, that's probably why it sounds like you enjoyed doing the cricket.
That's right. That's right. And I think my lasting memory from our association, we broadcast many games together, but would be sort of down in Launceston with Mytho getting flogged, flatulating. I mean, not flatulating. he was getting flogged. What's the word?
You're the man. You're the wordsmith. Sir, I've got to quote you on flatulating. No, I think it's going to be... Right.
I think the word was apt. Mytho was just the sort of... It was the bloke who copped everything from Durham. I remember those days very fondly. They were great days going down to Launceston. We didn't think on the time, but looking back, it's amazing how memories change what you think about those times.
Changed me working with you, Dennis. I've got to say those years of working with you were phenomenal, and me understanding what it takes. And I, to use the music analogy as well, I talked about it earlier on briefly, but as great as your lines were, and they were fantastic, and you weave them in beautifully at the right time, your timing and your delivery is what I take away. Even the line, like, that's ambitious. It's not just the line. It's like you were Bernie Taupin and you were Elton John. You had the line that came to your mind, but you also had the opportunity to sing it correctly. So, you know, that's ambitious doesn't necessarily resonate unless you deliver it.
Nice of you to say that, Dwayne. I didn't get deeply into it. It just sort of... like the things you do, they just happen sometimes, don't they? And when you look back, you think, where did that come from? I remember that thing with Nick Riewoldt running into the goal square. I think the last word I thought of was like a librarian. Librarian was the word that just came from nowhere. So that really had not been something I thought about, even in the same sentence. So it's odd how your mind goes.
That's one of your all-time greats, absolutely, because it summed up that moment perfectly forever. What sport do you watch now for fun, Dennis? How much footy do you watch now you don't have to watch it? And I know you go to the NBL religiously. You love the Wildcats.
Yes, yes. I've got a connection to them. I'm the number one ticket holder, and I'm batting 5 of 6. It might be time to retire. But, no, I like the basketball. Look, Dwayne, I like all sport, and I'm missing it a lot, you know, like... I like most of the American sport as well. And so it would be great to get some sport back on as soon as possible. And the footy's not far away now, so I'm looking forward to that, just doing it on radio and having a good time with good people.
You mentioned about the season itself coming up, and I'm sure you've had a few people knocking your door talking about that. You can say things as a non-rights broadcaster in essence now because... You're not broadcasting yeah. every week. Are you an evolutionist or an interventionist when it comes to the game and where it's headed?
It's funny. People have this idea of football in the past. And one of the things I did wanted to say, and I think I forgot to say, was that in many respects, what happened yesterday was more to do with the players of the late 50s and early 60s for me. I just love them. And people think that's sort of like the dinosaur when you look back to those times. But there was a guy in Perth who played for West Perth, a fellow called Mel Winnan. Now he's runner-up in a couple of Sandover medals. He played for 17 seasons. He started in 1960. And in his 15th season, he won the fairest and best at the club, one of nine. And he also won the Simpson Medal as best on the ground when West Perth won a premiership. Now, if you link up 17-year periods, it brings us to the present very quickly. Three or four Mel Winnans and you're there. I don't think that footy has changed that much and the players haven't changed that much either. The game has. I mean, they've made it far more defensive. But when I think of the best football I ever saw, it was certainly State of Origin. Now, I'm saying WA v Victoria, but South Australia and Victoria a bit after that was just as good. That's the best football I've seen. I reckon the designers, the people who made up football, who took it and sort of refined it, that was what they were chasing. And that was, as I say, the best I'd seen. And I think I understand the pragmatism of coaches now, but it's not as good a spectacle. While I'm on this and beating this drum, I don't know what that makes me. I'm not an interventionist. It'll intervention. That's a hard word. Why'd you bring that up? Interventionist. I wouldn't sort of try and change it, but I remember doing some stats for the record not so long ago. It was last year's grand final, 30th anniversary anyway. The grand final before. The 30th anniversary of the 89 game. And the stats in that game were quite remarkable. I mean, the two clubs between them, they kicked 42 goals and they had 480 possessions. One club the previous Saturday in the AFL, I noted, and had over 400 themselves. So in football, we've discovered an extra 400 possessions in the space from 89, which is surprising, if nothing else.
Yeah, Dennis, great to have a chat to you. And absolutely it did, but I haven't got a chance to explore it because, commercial radio, I'm told to take an ad break here. I can't just roll in a song. I'd love to play Frankie Valli for you. But we'll talk again soon. Congratulations again. Thanks, Dennis.
You,
we'll talk soon.
Great to talk to you. See you, Dwayne.